of Aseret Meitshuva to discuss the life of the great tzaddik Reb Leibel Eiger, whose life was one of complete kedusha and tahara in the most remarkable way. Those who have been to the shiurim in the past know that we talk about the life of the tzaddik for 3-4 weeks, and then afterwards we study some of his Torahs for another month or two. And we've been doing this in Baruch Hashem for quite a few years. So we've had so far one discussion regarding the life of Reb Leibel Eiger, and it's really quite remarkable that such a quiet and peaceful individual should have created such a storm. And the storm that was created was when he was the grandson of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, the Gadol Hador, one of the greatest of all the Achronim, and he was the son of Reb Shlomo Eiger himself, one of the leaders of the generation. That for Reb Leibel Eiger to become a chassid, and not only a chassid, but a follower of Kotzk, which was considered to be, even among the chassidim, a radical group. This caused a tremendous stir in the rabbinic world in general. In the chassidish world, this was the catch of the century. And we were discussing last time the difficulties that Reb Leibel had in his own personal life as a result of this. His father-in-law, Reb Israel, was a staunch misnagid, or at least he was very much opposed to Kotzk. He felt that he was under the impression that he was marrying his daughter off to one of the future great Rosh Hashivas, a Rabbanim of Europe. And he was not interested in the son-in-law who was going to Kotzk and who was leading a life of poverty. Reb Leibel Eiger came from royalty. And he felt that his father-in-law felt that his daughter, Reb Tzin Basha, deserved better than this, even though he knew the greatness of Reb Leibel's learning. And he also knew the greatness of his Diktuk HaMitzvahs, Diktuk B'Mitzvahs, his observance of Torah. Nevertheless, this was a full-fledged war against Reb Leibel Eiger. Although I did mention last time that those rumors that were spread that Reb Shlomo Eiger sat shiva over Reb Leibel going to Kotzk, or that the absurdity of a father-in-law sitting shiva, doesn't mean it was just totally meaningless, are not based on any facts at all. Now, where we're up to, we saw that that Reb Tzin Basha, the Reb Leibel's wife, did challenge her father, go and see what it's like, go to Kotzk and see. Why are you doing this? Why aren't you giving Reb Leibel a chance? And Reb Israel went, but he didn't really give a chance. And the last thing we saw is the confrontation between Reb Israel, that's Reb Leibel's father-in-law, and the Kotzker himself. That's what we're up to. Now, once Reb Israel saw what was going on in Kotzk, and he realized that there was no use, and he wasn't going to be successful to bring Reb Leibel back. So then he went to appeal to Reb Shlomo Eiger. He went to appeal to Reb Leibel's father, and we have a quite a detailed report of what happened when Reb Shlomo Eiger went to Kotzk to go fetch his son Reb Leibel. And the way that the story has been recorded, there are some slight variations, but the basic story goes as follows: that when Reb Shlomo Eiger came to the Beis Medrash in Kotzk, you have to understand, this is a person, Reb Shlomo Eiger, who was known throughout Europe. He was a person of vast learning. He was considered one of the biggest rabbanim in the world. And usually when he walked into a shul or to a Jewish community, kodem kol, he'd usually be received on the outskirts of the community. Thousands of people would greet him. And when he would walk into the shul, of course, he would receive a king's welcome. And he walked into Beis Medrash, and people looked up for a second from the Gemara, and they just looked down. And then he went over to some chassidim that were learning, and he asked, do you know where Reb Leibel is? And they just kept on learning. They didn't even answer him. So things started off in a very bad way. They didn't even answer him. And there was a certain chassid there. There was a well-known chassid in Kotzk that was called Rabbi Ber Chassid. Rabbi Ber Chassid. And this Rabbi Ber Chassid, so the Reb Shlomo picked him for whatever reason as a karven. And Reb Shlomo went over to him and said, I want to know where's Reb Leibel. So Reb Ber Chassid said, I don't know who you're talking about. So he says, Reb Leibel Eiger. So he said, oh, you want Reb Leibel Shleima Akivas, which was a very affectionate name, but certainly for Reb Shleima Eiger to hear such a thing, Reb Leibel Shleima Akivas, it's a degrading way to speak about him and about his father. Reb Leibel Shleima Akivas, like, you know. And he told him, Rabbi Chassid told him that, he says, if you're waiting for him, he'll be back in a little while. We sent him to get some schnapps. You know, so he went out to look for some schnapps for the chevra. So, in the meantime, I didn't see in the svarim exactly what was the celebration. Whatever it was, what reason do you need to celebrate? You're a Jew, and the greatest simcha in the world is that you're a Yid. So for whatever reason, the chassidim were going to drink a little bit and have a break from the learning and to make a rikud, and they started dancing. And there was a big rikud going on. And in the center of the circle was Hagoyin HaKadosh, the Chiddush HaHarim, the great Chiddush HaHarim, Rabbi Yitzchak Meir from Ger, the Ger Rebbe, Chiddush HaHarim. So in the beginning, Reb Shlomo Eiger did not see that the Chiddush HaHarim was there. And the Chiddush HaHarim, as I told you a few weeks ago, the Chiddush HaHarim and Reb Shlomo Eiger knew each other, because Reb Shlomo Eiger sent his son Reb Leibel to learn in the yeshiva in Warsaw of the Chiddush HaHarim. And Reb Shlomo Eiger had tremendous respect for the Chiddush HaHarim, even though he was a chassid. The learning of the Chiddush HaHarim was absolutely first class, and he was considered to be among the greatest scholars of the generation. So Reb Shlomo Eiger was someone who had deep respect for the Chiddush HaHarim. He didn't see that in the middle of the circle of the Chassidim who were dancing in Kusk, he didn't see that in the middle of the circle was a Chiddush HaHarim. So the next thing we're told is that Reb Leibel Eiger walks in, and all the Chassidim, he didn't see his father right away. There were a lot of people, and all the Chassidim start to cheer that the whiskey has arrived. And they start drinking and they're dancing, and all of a sudden, Reb Shlomo Eiger gives it a scream, and he says, "What is this? A bar?" He starts yelling, "Is this a bar? I want my son back right now!" And nobody paid attention. In the beginning, when he started to scream, they began to pull. They went over to Reb Shlomo. They says, "Hey, he's an angry misnagid. Let's give him a drink and." Let's give him a drink and bring him a little bit until he needs a dance. What does a misnagid need? A misnagid needs a good dance. So they tried to bring Reb Shlomo Eiger into the dance, and that didn't work well either. And all of a sudden, when they were pulling Reb Shlomo Eiger to the dance, and he couldn't believe, how dare they even touch me? You know, he looked at them like a bunch of drunks. Thank you. So they're pulling him, and they're, all of a sudden, Reb Shlomo Eiger sees the Chiddush HaHarim. And the Chiddush HaHarim sees him. The Chiddush HaHarim didn't see. He heard yelling. And all of a sudden, and the Chiddush HaHarim looks at him, and he sees Reb Shlomo Eiger, and then the party, like, you know, everything stopped, like the music stopped. The Chiddush HaHarim runs over to Reb Shlomo Eiger, and he reaches out his hand to shake his hand, and he says that, and when Reb Shlomo Eiger looks at him, Reb Shlomo Eiger can't believe it. And Reb Shlomo Eiger says, "Ha'im kvoidai," says in the Sefer, "is your honor," Reb Shlomo Eiger says to Chiddush HaHarim, "is your honor also participating in this drunken revelry?" That's what he couldn't believe it. That the Chiddush HaHarim was also taking part of this. So the Chiddush HaHarim answered, he says, "Yes, I'm taking part of the Simcha, but you're making a mistake if you think that this is a bar. It's not a bar." And in the meantime, the Chiddush HaHarim signaled to the Chassidim that they should start the music again and pull Reb Shlomo in. And now Reb Shlomo couldn't say no, because the Chiddush HaHarim, he had tremendous respect for. So the Chiddush HaHarim pulled him into the circle, and they did a rikud. In the meantime, Reb Leibel Eiger, who was on the side, Reb Leibel Eiger sees his father, of course, now. And Reb Leibel Eiger goes over to his father, and his father gives him a warm hug. And his father pulls him immediately out of this whole dancing situation. And they head straight to the Rebbe. They're going to the Kotzker. The Kotzker himself was not taking part of the dance. The Kotzker, as you know, is usually by himself. And the Reb Shlomo, like you said, were going to speak to the Rebbe. And they came before the Kotzker. And the Kotzker said And the Kotzke said, and Reb Shlomo Eger said in the presence of the Kotzke, he said to his son, Leibele b'ni, my child Leibele, hineni goyzer alecha b'gzeres kibud av. I decree upon you, using my authority as your father, b'gzeres kibud av, to honor your father, I command you to come home and never to return to this place. And Reb Leibele just sat there, he didn't know what to do, he looked at the Kotzke, and the Kotzke said to him, Rabbi Shlomo, says, first of all, it doesn't become you to be angry. That's the Kotzke said. You shouldn't be angry. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, certainly the Kotzke said to Rabbi Shlomo, Rabbi Shlomo, you certainly, since you're a Jew that knows the entire Shas, you certainly remember the Gemara in Kedushin that says, Shloisha Shutfin Leib Adam, that there are three partners who participate in the creation of every human being. There are three, right? There's the Father, the Mother, and there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? The three partners, the Father, the Mother, and Hashem. So the Kotzke said, the part that has come to me is the one that belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The part of Leibele, of your son, that's not, the part that came is not yours or your wife's. That's the Rebbeinu Shlomo's came to spend time with me. And therefore, I decree, in the name of Hashem, that he has, that part of Leibele Ege has no rishus to go home. So you could take home the part that belongs to you. But the part that belongs to Kadosh Baruch Hu is staying here with me. That's what the Kotzke said. Reb Shlomo didn't answer. Reb Shlomo got up. He was very angry. And he didn't, according to this report, he didn't say goodbye to his son. Reb Shlomo marched out of there. And the next place he went was straight to Poznan. Who was in Poznan? His father, the Gadol Hador, Rabbi Kiv Eger. So Shlomo left Kotzk, and he saw that there's nothing to do with these people. He's going to have to go through Rabbi Kiv Eger, because he knew that certainly Reb Leibele, his son, would never dare disobey the grandfather, Rabbi Kiv Eger. And he knew that he could, and he expected that his father, Rabbi Kiv Eger, would certainly help. So when Reb Shlomo came to his father, to Rabbi Kiv Eger, and he was all upset, and he says, I came to Kotzk, and a bunch of drunks, And they even talked the Chiddush Harim, Rabbi Shemaya from Varsha, from Warsaw. They also got a mishugu into the drinking and into the dancing and everything. And I don't know what to do about Leibele. So Rabbi Kiv Eger asked like this, and this is a very famous episode. Rabbi Kiv Eger says, never mind the dancing. Rabbi Kiv Eger says, what's wrong with Jews? Am I allowed to dance? He says, but tell me something. Did you see Reb Leibele washing the tilis yadayim? Did you see him washing his hands? And Reb Shlomo said, yes, there was a suud, and he saw him washing his hands. And the grandfather, Rabbi Kiv Eger, asked, and tell me, was he careful with the halachas of netilas yadayim? Was he careful that when you watched him, did you see? So Reb Shlomo said that not only was he careful, he noticed that he was very, very machmir, very strict with all the halachas and the amount of water and how he washed his hands. He was extremely strict. So, after that, Rabbi Kiv Eger said, then what are you worried about? There's nothing to worry about. He's going to reach even greater madregas. He's going to reach even a greater level of learning Torah and of Avodas Hashem by being in that place, by being in Kotzk. Now, just as a side note, what's this business of Netilas Yadayim? We have other traditions of tzaddikim who are worried about sons or grandsons that were in funny places, and the first question they asked was, what about Netilas Yadayim? So let me read to you since especially now Seder Yemei Tshuva, we tried to learn, many people learn the Shari Tshuva from Rabbeinu Yonah. So Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Shari Tshuva, V'hine ki tira anoshim zoylulim mezalzalim ben tilis yadayim. He says, if you see Jews who are careless when it comes to washing their hands, and I'm always very, very careful to tell my children, very often you'll find people, especially when they're hungry, especially after fasting, and they want to have a piece of bread, They'll do a washing, a half a cup of water, a little bit on their fingers. They think it's my machroinim, right? So Rabbeinu Yonah says, Rabbeinu Yonah is a rishon. Rabbeinu Yonah says, you see Jews who are mezalzel, if you see people who are not careful in the tilis yadayim, v'chein rabbis divrei chachamim v'takanoisam asher paritzim gedarim. Now you know that the tilis yadayim is a takana, is not from the Torah, it's a takana, it's an enactment from Chazal. It's a very early one. It might even have its origins in Tanakh, but it is in Nach, but it is not Daraisa, washing the hands. Not only that, but you know, without going into any details, that really it's pretty far fetched, the whole Indian of Tilis Yadayim, that we have to do as kahanim, and then maybe we'll be a Beis HaMikdash, and we're not kahanim, and there's no Beis HaMikdash, and so on. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, if you see Jews who are mezalzel, who are careless when it comes to Nedilas Yadayim, he says, bezos yibachenu. This is a sure test. Bezos teda, ubachante es darkam, ki hema roim, v'chatoim la'shem ma'oid. Rabbeinu Yonah says, if you see a Jew who's careless with Nedilas Yadayim, it's a test. You could be certain that he is sinning in much more serious ways that you're not watching, that you can't see. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. Ein ze ki'im, Roa leiv upirik ol shamayim he'al tzavaram. He says, you see, Rabbeinu Yonah is saying is that since Nitil Siddayim, a person thinks, my hands are clean, I wash with soap, I eat with gloves, I have all these things. So a person who does not accept with simple faith the decrees of the Chachamim, one of the first things that he'll be mezalzel in, that he'll be careless with, is Nitil Siddayim. And this is something that I myself have observed. And since we have in the Sram, we don't need proof, but I could tell you from my personal observations that one of the first things to go with a Jew who's never going off the path, who's entertaining thoughts of leaving, is washing hands. Washing hands and tzitzis. But washing hands in particular, when it comes to be mezalzel, even if he's still washing, but not being careful to wash the hands properly, because it's a simon, that this takonas chachamim, which really is not something which makes so much sense to us. It's just a matter of faith to believe that the chacham had many reasons that we don't understand for enacting this law of Nedilas Yadayim. So when that goes, it's a simon that there's something, not always, but it's very often a simon that something crooked is cooking inside. So therefore, Rabbi Kiva asked his son, "Did you see Rabbi Label of washing, and how was it? And the washing was good." So Bikiv Ege says, then what are you worried about? He's Machmehivi, he's even more strict than Nedilas Yadayim. So there's certainly nothing to worry about. This story, by the way, that we have about what happened by Rabbi Kiva Ege, this is not a tradition that's among the Hasidim. This was told by the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav, Velvula Brisker, told this mice over that he heard it from his father, and this goes back to that, to those tzaddikim from the Beis Medrash of Brisk, who heard this, I suppose. The Brisker says, you know, we're very, very careful not to deviate in the slightest way, even from a story, even the details of a story. So the Brisker Rav said that Reb Shlomo Eger said, but how could he stay there? What's going to be with his learning? What's going to be with his position in Klal Yisrael? What's going to be with the honor of the family? So Rabbi Kiva Eger responded by saying, Rabbi Kiva Eger says, you know what? Rabbi Kiva Eger says, send him to me. Other Rabbi. I'll send for him. So Rabbi Kiva Eger sent to Kotsk, his grandson, the messenger, to come to me. And immediately, he asked the Kotsker, and the Kotsker said, Rabbi Kiva Eger, it's a Shaila, the Zayda. So right away, so Reb Leibel Eger went. He went to see the grandfather, to see the Gadol Hador, Rabbi Kiva Eger. And when he was there, this is what the Brisker Rav told, that the time that he spent with the grandfather, which seems to have been approximately 2 weeks that he spent with the Rabbi Kiva Eger, during that entire time, they were learning together, and they were conversing as a grandfather does with a grandson. And not once did the subject of Kutsk come up, and Rabbi Kiva Eger did not raise the subject at all. So, when Rabbi Leibel Eger was leaving, he was on his way back, and he was passing through Lublin, and his father came to see him, to see that, oh, did Zayda straighten you out? You must be, you know, everything okay? You're home? Everything's okay? And Reb Leibel said, I'll tell you the truth, Father. Zayda didn't ask me one question about Chassidus, about Kutsk. We were learning Gemara, and that's it. Nothing came up at all. And he just continued back on his way. He went back to Kutsk. So Reb Shlomo couldn't believe it. So he ran. You know, these are all two, three day trips. You know, this is not easy. This is not jumping in the car and going down the Belt Parkway. This is a serious trip. So Shlomo Eger runs to the grandfather, to his father, and he says that I saw Leibel in Lublin. So he says, you're good. And what's the matter? She says, you didn't tell him. She says, tell him what? You didn't tell him to leave Kutsk. So the Brisker Rav said that Rabbi Kiva Eger's answer to that was, L'Re'i'si'es lo shum shinui klal. I did not see any change, anything diminished in his service of Hashem. Umali lohechichel al stiyah medarech haTorah v'hayahadus. You want me to tell him off that he's leaving the path of Yiddishkeit, that he's doing something wrong, that he's going off the derech. Imdav is aleikara klal uklal. I learned with him. I spent time with him. And I see that he's nothing is chas v'chalil has changed in his life. Nothing's wrong. So what was there to talk about? Now, one interesting note also that was said, that the Briskus told over, is that before Reb Leibler went to his grandfather, the Kotzke told him, you have to go to your grandfather, he wants you. That before Reb Leibler went to Poznan to the grandfather, Reb Leibler said, the Kotzke saw that Reb Leibler was a little nervous. So the Kotzke asked Reb Leibler, what's the matter? You're going to see your grandfather, the Gadol Hador, it's a covet to see him? So he says, no, I love him, I'm looking forward to seeing him, but I'm worried, I know he's going to ask me something. So the Kotzke said, what's he going to ask you? He's going to ask, how do you explain that the Chassidim daven light? And you know, you can't, and you know, he says, my grandfather, you know, he knows how to learn. he knows how to learn. He's going to ask me, how do we daven so late? So what do I tell my Zayda? You know, what do I tell him about this with the davening? So, because you can't say a mice over there, Rabbi Kiveg, you know. So he said, what am I going to tell him? So this is what the Kotzke said. The Mahalach was like this. The Kotzke said, your grandfather knows Kol HaTorah Kula. Tell him the Gemara. Just say to him the Gemara. There's a Gemara. Just say if he asks you that, tell him Bav Metzia Pei Gimel. Just tell him Bav Metzia Pei Gimel. And what's Bav Metzia Pei Gimel? Reb Leibler chaf right away. Reb Leibler also knew Shas. So what's Bav Metzia Pei Gimel? The Gemara there says, it's talking about the case of that Pearl B'Knisosu Mishaloh B'Tziyosu Mishabal Abayis. The Gemara is discussing a din that when a worker is involved in some manner of the employment that he's being paid for a certain job, and that Pearl, that worker, the expenses that he needs, that it costs him to get to work, the travel expenses, the Gemara there is discussing the din, that the travel expenses are considered part of the employment, and the balabas has to pay. In other words, that's part, if he has to travel for 2 hours, that's on the cheshbon of the employer. Because that's part of the employment. So, tell your grandfather that's the Indian of getting ready for davening, what the chassidim do. That it's on the way to tefillah, and therefore it's on the cheshbon of the employer, of the Baruch Shalom. He has to pay for that too. It comes from his time, not from our time. It's on his cheshbon. Because these, it's all part of the job. It's the hachonis of tefillah. Now we don't know, we don't have any report at all whether the grandfather actually asked him that. As a matter of fact, it sounds like he didn't ask him anything about what goes on. But that's the way that Reb Leibler prepared. That was the only thing he was worried about. Everything else, anything philosophical, chassidus, he knew he wouldn't have a problem with that, with his grandfather, but he was just nervous. How am I going to explain mincha at 10 o'clock at night, you know, shachris at 2 in the afternoon, what am I going to do? But in the end, it doesn't seem that Rabbi Kiveg asked that, we don't have any report of that. So, Rabbi Leibler went back to Kutsk, and much to his father's chagrin, Rabbi Leibler went back to Kutsk, and he spent an additional 5 months there, and then the Kutsk told him it's time to return home. You should keep in mind that this was the beginning of Reb Leibler's marriage, and that's part of the reason that even though his wife gave him permission, and she supported what he was doing, nevertheless his father-in-law did not. And at this point, Reb Leibler was told by the Kotzke himself to return home. When he came home, he found the father-in-law, who by this point had been transformed from a supporting good father-in-law to a roidev, to a Mamasha right, he hated Reb Leibler, and he refused, he was Metzar him, and he refused to allow him into the house, and he told him that he is never to return, and also he warned all of his relatives, that no one is allowed to give him a place to stay, they're not allowed to permit Reb Leibler into their homes. And not only that, but he did not let his daughter go with Reb Leibler. He did not let his daughter, Reb Israel, kept his daughter in the house, and she was not given permission. In those days, those things were serious, and her father is not giving permission, and she couldn't leave. And Reb Leibler had nowhere to go, so he went to the house of the Rav of Lublin. Now, the Rav of Lublin was the Goyim of Meshulam Zalman Ashkenazi, who I mentioned in the first shiur. But Meshulam Zalman was not a chassid, but he loved Rav Leibler. He loved Rav Leibler. He was a very old man. And this Rav of Lublin, who was a Goyim Olam, you can imagine, Lublin was one of the largest centers of Jewish life in the world. So this Rav Meshulam Zalman, he took Rav Leibler into his house, and he tried to do whatever he could. The Rav of Lublin tried to quiet down the machlaikas. And it wasn't working, and it got so terrible that Reb Leibler went back to Kutsk. He felt he couldn't stay in Lublin because Reb Israel wasn't even happy with him being in Lublin. He didn't want him being, he was a very wealthy man, a very powerful man, Reb Israel, and he was making all kinds of threats, and he's gonna stop giving money for stock. You know, it was terrible. So Reb Leibler went back to Kutsk. Now, some, those of you who are familiar with the history of Chassidus know that the closest, dearest friend of the Kotzker, and one who had a complete opposite temperament, was the Tzaddik of Yitzhak Vorka, Rabbi Yitzhak Vorka. Rabbi Yitzhak Vorka was the closest friend of the Kotzker, but the Kotzker was a fire, Rabbi Leibler was the sweetest and the softest. We don't know exactly what happened, but Rabbi Yitzhak Vorka agreed to mediate, and Rabbi Yitzhak Vorka went to Lublin, and he spoke to the father-in-law of Israel, and nobody knows ad hayom what he told him, but he was able to accomplish something, that Rabbi Israel agreed to let his daughter go. That was an accomplishment. He agreed to let his daughter go, and she went and she joined Rabbi Leibler, but at this point Rabbi Israel still cut them off completely from the wealth of the family, and from inheritance and so on. They were basically disowned. But at least Bashi, the Rebbetzin, was able to go back to her husband. Reb Leibler, at this point, Reb Leibler did move back to Lublin. He settled in Lublin. And they lived for some time. They had a considerable amount of money from the Nadans, from the Nadunya. Remember that it was a wealthy family. So they had some money still, from the chasana, from the wedding, and for a little while they were living off of that, and the Rebbetzin insisted that Reb Leibler Eger not work, and he was learning day and night in the Beis Medrash of the Chayza, because the Chayza wasn't alive, but in that Beis Medrash of the Chassidim, he was learning day and night, and after some time, it wasn't long, the money from the chasana was used up, and she conducted a business, she was working. The Rebbetzin had some sort of a shop, a store, and throughout, for his entire life, Reb Leibler Eger used to speak with great words of praise for his wife. How here she was, a girl from one of the wealthiest families in Europe, that she could have left him, because everybody wanted her to leave him. And she remained with him. And not only did she remain with him, but she had to stoop to working in a shop day and night. And we also know that Reb Leibler, even though she did not want to let him help, we're told that he was because he was a very great genius, that when it came to making the cheshbonos, to figuring out the accounts, so that was the one thing he participated in. He would always take care of he took care of the books, because it would take him a few minutes. He would take care of all the books, and the rest of the time, he was learning. Now the parnasa lemaisa was very, very difficult. They didn't have much of a parnasa, and the chassidim of Kutsk therefore got together, and they decided to try to work something out to support Reb Leibler, that he should continue learning. And this was a committee that was sent by the Kotzke to look into this. And Reb Leibler refused. There was a certain chassid. Now, this is a very interesting story. There was a wealthy Kotzke chassid by the name of Reb Moshe Treisman. This Reb Moshe Treisman was a very, very big businessman. And he saw that Reb Leibler is not going to take tzedakah. Reb Leibler is not going to take charity. So the only thing to do would be to try to offer Reb Leibler a decent job. The Rebbetzin that wasn't going with the shop. So to try to get to hire Reb Leibler, maybe, you know, he'll take the job because he had to feed the family. So what was the job? So it wasn't really much of a job. The job was as follows. This Reb Moshe was going on many business trips. He was traveling all around Europe, and he needed someone who would come with him. Just that he shouldn't ever have a problem with Yichud, being alone with a woman. He was a very firm Jew. And someone just that he should be able to go together to Davin and to have a chavrus along the way. It wasn't a real job, But it was a bekavadika thing, and it was a way for the Reb Leibel to be hired, so to speak. And he really didn't have to do anything. So Reb Leibel Eger was maskim. He agreed to that. There was a lot of pressure from the chassidim, and it even came down from the Kotzke himself that he should take the job. And, in fact, he did. Now the first trip, listen to this, what happened. You know, it's like, if you're not cut out for this, it doesn't go. So he didn't have to do anything. Reb Leibel. And Reb Moshe says, just very respectfully, just we'll go together everywhere. So Reb Leibel said, fine. And they went together, and they came to a palace of a certain paritz, of a certain non-Jew, a nobleman, a mansion, where Reb Moshe had big business with this fellow. And he walked in with Reb Leibel, and now Reb Leibel was famous for being completely, not absent-minded. He was in a constant state of Dveikus Hashem. He was completely immersed in learning and in thoughts of holiness. And he would, generally, when he was in town, always a bacher or somebody would hold him by his arm and walk him through town. He was oblivious to whatever was going on. So he walked in with Reb Moshe to this palace, and then Reb Moshe took Reb Leibel over there and sat him on a nice, comfortable chair. And Reb Leibel didn't even know where he was. Reb Leibel is like this. And Reb Moshe is talking business to the pirates, to the landowner, to the wealthy Gentile. The kitsa, what happened is a terrible thing, that Reb Moshe had to go into the next room to sign papers with the paritz. Now the paritz, every paritz has a paritza, which means a wife. So the wife of the paritz stayed there in the room. She was a very wealthy woman, and she stayed there in the room. Reb Leibel was sitting on this couch, and this woman who was not dressed modestly. And Reb Leibel was in the room alone with this woman, and he's holding wherever he's holding, the Zoya, Nari, whatever he's doing. He's out there someplace. All of a sudden, and Reb Moshe is in the other room, all of a sudden, Reb Leibel Eger looked up and he sees it. There's a woman sitting in the room, across from him. He doesn't know where he is, what's going on. He's looking for a door. He can't find any door. He doesn't know what to do. And Reb Leibel Eger jumped out of the window. So Maisa Shahaya, and it's not an agada, it's a true story, because you hear in a second what happened. Reb Leibel Eger jumped out of the window that was the second story. He jumped out, and he broke both of his legs as a result of that fall. And there was a tremendous tumult in the doctors and the rest of his life. Reb Leibel was disabled, could not walk properly. It wasn't properly set. As a result of this accident, that's his first day on the job. His first day on the job. And till he died, he suffered from that, from the, one of the legs that wasn't properly set. And, yeah, that's what it is. So, it can't take him anywhere. Yeah. I don't even know what happened to the dealer. Reb Moshe was, you know, the window breaking and the whole tumult and started to scream. It was in the safe. It's written up a hole. And no one knew what happened. Like, she was just a nice lady. You know, she wasn't making any trouble. And, Reb Leibel, he jumped out the window. So, in the end, what happened is, it sounds a little like Reb Zusha. In the end, this was also Bashed. Listen, this caused a tremendous commotion back in town. This happened on the outskirts of Lublin. The whole city was talking about this. That Reb Leibel Eger, like, dived out of the, you know, he took a jump out of the window because he didn't want to be over on Yichud. You know, he jumped out of the window. Reb Israel, the father-in-law, heard about this and he began to cry. That, how did I mistreat him? He's such an Elochid. You know, maybe I don't agree with his ways, but look at the man. He's such a God-fearing Jew. And how could I have treated him in such a way? He has such a mysterious nefesh for halacha. He could have politely asked for a door or to be shown out, and he just jumped out of the window. You know, he was so frightened. So, the end, Reb Israel, the father-in-law, went to the Beis Din of Lublin, and he asked them to release him from his neder that he had made, the oath that he had made, the comment that he disowned them. And what happened is that after that, he began to be mefarnes. It's not clear whether he came back into the house or Reb Leibel. But the father-in-law paid for him. Just let him stay in the Bismedrash. I don't want to have to do with the whole thing, but I'll take care of the bills. And Reb Israel supported him for many, many years. After that Reb Leibel didn't have to worry, and he was able to sit and learn, and his wife, the Rebbe, was able to have Baruch Hashem was able to have a peaceful life after that. So he came out with two broken legs, but the Parnosa was a lot better after that. It wasn't only Reb Zviel that came to terms with Reb Leibel's new life. Reb Shlomo Eger, the father, also over time he realized that his son's greatness in Torah was only growing, his tzidkus, his kedusha, his holiness was only increasing, and therefore Reb Shlomo Eger forgave him, and there was a great reconciliation between the father and the son. And the love that Reb Shlomo had for him now increased. It was greater than ever before, and they once again joined together to learn together, and they became closer than ever. So that Baruch Hashem was ended on a good note. When Reb Shlomo Leeger died, the Jews of the city of Posen came to offer Reb Leibel the position. That's where the grandfather was Rav, Reb Akiva Eger, and that's where Reb Shlomo was Rav. This is one of the most important kehilas in Germany. This was in Poland. However, this was a kehila that was being torn in two as a result of the Enlightenment, the Haskalah. The Reform movement had made a lot of progress, particularly in that city. And when they came to ask Reb Leibel to be the Rav, Reb Leibel refused. And it was, many people couldn't believe that he would refuse such an important position. And he said, I'm not leaving Lublin to go to Posen. And they asked him why, it's such a chashuv position. So he said, because Lublin is closer to Yerushalayim than Posen. He made a cheshbon on the map that Lublin is closer to Yerushalayim. I'm staying in Lublin. That's the only thing he answered. He didn't say anything else. I want to be closer to Yerushalayim. If I'm stuck in Poland, at least I'll be in Lublin. Now, once it happened, it was on the yard site of Reb Shlomo Leeger is Yud Aleph Teves. So once happened on the yard site of Reb Shlomo Leeger, so Reb Leibel Eger went to daven for the Amud. It was his father's yard site. And he davened in Nusach Svart. He was a chassid. He davened Svart. So there was a misnagid there that felt that he had to make some trouble. So the misnagid said, is this how you show honor to your father, Reb Shlomo Leeger, your father, davened Nusach Ashkenaz? It's bad enough that you went to Kusk, and then on top of that, you're also davening on your father's yard site. You're davening for the Omid Nusach Svart. So Reb Leibel said, Hari Avi, he says, Avi Kvar Ba'olam Ha'emes. He says, my father is in the world of truth. Ba'olam Ha'emes, Yoydim Es Ha'emes, in the world of truth. One of the advantages of being there is that in the world of truth, they know the truth. And that was the end of that. So he davened Nusach Svart. Now, this is a little bit of the story of Reb Leibel's upbringing and the whole parasha with his family and Lublin and so on. Now it's time to move into the second and much more important, for our purposes of studying Chassidus, the more important change that took place in his life. So now we're going to begin to discuss his connection to the great tzaddik of Mordechai Yosef the Ishbitzer, the Meir Shiloh, because this was the most important event in his life. His attachment, or the most important person in his life, was the Meir Shiloh, the Ishbitzer. Now, you know, we're not going to go into the details of the split that took place between Kotzk and Ishbitz. That's on the tapes that when we spoke about Reb Tzaddik. And we spoke about the Meir Shiloh, the Ishbitzer, the tapes from the Ishbitzer from a few years ago. So if you're interested to know more about the details of what happened, remarkable separation that took place between the Kotzko and his great disciple, his prized student, the Ishbitzer, that we discussed already at great length. So just for now, we have to understand, where does Reb Leibel fit into this whole picture? We already know that you all know that the Kotzko's ways were very, very extreme, very radical, and I mentioned before that even among the Chassidim, he had many opponents. The Kotzko was not one of the trademarks of the Kotzko was that he showed absolutely no personal interest in the lives of the Chassidim, with their panoso, how they're feeling, their families, sister, brother, Shaduchim. He took no interest in their personal lives. The Kotzko's thing was, Emes, as you know, was truth, and truth meant Avodas Hashem at all costs. And he wasn't at all involved in the Gashmias of the Chassidim. His demand for truth was uncompromising, and because of that, it was very difficult to be one of his disciples. Now, you remember that Rabbi Mordechai Yosef, that great tzaddik, the author of the Me'er Shiloach, the Rebbe from Ishbitz, the Ishbitz was a follower of the Kotzker. He was a senior disciple who was considered to be the deepest and greatest thinker of the followers of the Kotzker. And the Kotzker appointed Rabbi Mordechai Yosef to be in charge of all the young geniuses that show up in Kotzk, to weed them out and to learn with them. He was placed in charge of these Talmidim who came to Kotzk. Now, the way of the Ishbitzer was very different from the Kotzk, however. He showed tremendous, tremendous love for the Chassidim and a great amount of personal warmth. The Ishbitzer himself came from a very wealthy family that also was not pleased with his decision to go to Kotzk. And he gave away, the Ishbitzer gave all of his money to the young men there that needed help with food and with clothing. He gave every penny away. And the Chassidim, therefore, in Kotzk were very, very much devoted to him. So what was developing over the years was a Chassidus within a Chassidus. They were Kotzker Chassidim, but really, day to day, they had very little shaychus to the Kotzker. Day to day, even though they considered themselves followers of the Kotzker, they were really living and learning with the Me'er Shiloach, the Ishbitzer, of Mordechai Yosef. And this is something that's going to have a very important impact upon the future of Chassidus. The other difference was, whereas the Kotzker showed, not only did the Kotzker not show any interest in the simple Jews, the peasants, the simple Jews, he generally showed disdain towards the simple Jews, which is very hard to fit into the way of the Baal Shem Tov, as you know. And the Ishbitzer was very different. The Ishbitzer was makar of the simple Jews. He had special tishin with them. He used to talk to the simple people. He would sing with them. And it was more in the old style, even though it was the sharpness of Kotzk. But in terms of the personal relationships, it was more of the old style of Rabbi Yitzchak Zorke and the Chayze and the Rabbi Reb Melech and so on, of being warm and spending time even with the simple Jews. And as a result of that, slowly but surely, there was a following of people who were officially registered as Kotzkers, but they really didn't. They mostly were terrified of him and were in awe of him. And we came out from the room, everybody was in awe, but they didn't feel much in terms of a relationship. So what happened was, in the year 1840, Shemini Atzeres, and we spoke about this again much more in detail on the tape that's about the tapes about the Ishbitzer. It was Shemini Atzeres, Simchas Torah. Mordechai Yosef did not leave his hotel where he was staying. Hotel, I mean, you shouldn't think it was the Waldorf, whatever, the place that his achsanya, the inn where he was, he didn't leave. When it was Hakafis, he didn't go. Now, this was already very shocking. It was not, the Kotzker always was Mechabit, the Ishbitzer, his name was Mordechai Yosef, he was always Mechabit him with the most Choshevah of the Hakafis, which is the Hakafah of Yosef HaTzadik. And the Kotzker was looking, what's going on? And he wasn't there. And word began to spread, and you can't imagine. In Kotzk, when it came to a Yontif, there were tens of thousands of Jews, tens of thousands. And word began to spread that the Ishbitzer is not coming to Hakafis. And it was true. The Ishbitzer actually had a Sefer Torah, and he began to make his own hakafis at the hotel at the Achsanye. He began to make his own hakafis, and they began with a scream, Mila Shem Eli. The Ishbitzer said, whoever is with Hashem, come with me. Mila Shem Eli. And after Simchas Torah, and many people joined him for hakafis. And after Simchas Torah, the Ishbitzer left Kotzk with approximately 1,000 of not just Chassidim, of the finest of the Chassidim, approximately 1,000 of the greatest of the Talmid Chachamim, of the finest of the followers of the Kotzki. He left Ishbitz that night, Motzai Yontif, after Simchas Torah. There are many stories, a lot of it is fiction, about the Kotzker's reaction and what happened, and that the Ishbitzer said something to the Kotzker. I'm not going to go into that, we spoke about that by the Ishbitzer, but a lot of it is Stam was made up. We don't know. I mean, it's exactly what happened. It wasn't a happy Simchas Torah. Let's put it that way. In Kotzk, it was a tremendous commotion that was caused, and the Ishbitzer went to the town of Ishbitz and he established the Beis Medrash, and within a matter of weeks, approximately 15 to 20,000 of the finest young men in Poland became Chassidim of the Izbitsin. Regarding this painful parsha of the separation, many people throughout his life asked Reb Leibler, what happened? They asked Reb Leibler, you know, what's the inside story? As Reb Leibler was a devoted disciple of Kotzk, and he was also, of course, amongst those who went with Izbitsin. So they asked Reb Leibler, and Reb Leibler said the following. Again, this is what it says in the Svarim. Misha choshev shehu mevin loma paras harebi mikotsk. For those who think they understand why the Rebbe, meaning the Izbitzer, why he separated, why he went from Kotsk, lahanig eidav atzmo, to create his own group, his own chassidus, eino elataya. If someone thinks that he knows why the Izbitzer left, he's making a mistake. He doesn't know. Ki begeder bemuflumim cha'al tidresh. Because this is included in what the Gemara says, brings the pasuk that those things that are beyond your understanding, it's best not to think about. He used to tell people, don't ask questions and don't look into it. And anybody who thinks that he knows what happened doesn't know. And he says, and how do I know this? Because he said, Ki ani ba'atzmi ken yodei hatama amiti. I know the true reason. And all the reasons that people are speculating why the Izbitzer left are not true. So if Reb Leibler said that, then it's best not to talk about it, because Reb Leibler said no one knows the reason. He knew the reason. But we do know, he did not tell the reason at all, but we do know that when he would be asked over the years, he would always say, why do you come to me? Why you come? Reb Leibler said, why do you come to me with tightness, with complaints that I left the Kotzke? The Kotzke himself was the one who told me to go to the Izbitzer. Now, Kotzke was the one who made the shidduch between me and the Izbitzer. He says, so he was the one that told me that I should attach myself to Reb Mordechai Yosef, and I did. I'm only following those. I did what the Kotzke told me. The Kotzke told me to be attached to Reb Mordechai Yosef. And that's exactly what I did. We're told also, there's a Messiah, that at the time that the split took place, that Reb Leibler Eger gathered together at Beis Din, and he said in front of the Beis Din, Ma'olam lo ha'isi b'kotzk levati, rak nilvesi tomid in Reb Mordechai Yosef. He said in front of the Beis Din that Hashem knows, I never was alone. I never was alone in Kotzk. I was only here together with Reb Mordechai Yosef. In other words, it was that condition, that I was with the Izbitzer. I was never one day left alone from the Izbitzer, separated from the Izbitzer. And he said this in front of a basin. Sir, sat him. The order of the seating there was very specific, as we'll see in a minute. Next to the Izbitzer, Reb Mordechai Yosef, sat his illustrious son, the Beis Yaakov, Reb Yankele Izbitzer. And next to Reb Yankele, after Reb Yankele, sat Reb Leibler. Later on, Reb Tzadok HaKohen came to Izbitz. And that was the order. The order was the Izbitzer, the Meir Shiloach. After the Meir Shiloach was his son, the Beis Yaakov. After the Beis Yaakov was Reb Leibler. And after Reb Leibler was the Kohen from Lublin. Now his kashrus, the connection between Reb Leibler and the Meir Shiloach is truly remarkable. Just to give you an example. That after the Izbitzer died, till the end of his life, whenever Reb Leibler would pass by, when he was leaving Lublin, he would pass by on the way. Would be passing by Izbitz, he would go into the room of the Rebbe, where the Rebbe sat, into his private room, where the Izbitzer used to be, and Reb Leibler would cry for hours, and he would kiss the walls of the room, and he would say that this house is the Beis Hamikdash. And then he would say, and this room is the Kodesh HaKadosh. And he would always pass by and literally spend hours there in the room of the Izbitzer. Despite this, one shouldn't think that he lost any respect for the Kotzke. It's not true. Again, there are those who made up stories that after that, Reb Leibler didn't have anything to do with Kotzke. It's not true. After the Izbitzer died, Reb Leibler did not want to be Rebbe as long as the Kotzke was alive. The Kotzke outlived his student, the Izbitzer. The Kotzke outlived him. And Reb Leibler did not want to be a Rebbe as long as the Kotzke was alive. He didn't want to be Rebbe. And even though we're talking about after Sukkot here. So even though eventually Reb Tzadik prevailed upon Reb Leibler to be Rebbe, but until the Kotzke died, Reb Leibler was not noheg, did not take kvitlach, did not fear a tish. He was officially the Rebbe, but he didn't act like a Rebbe until the Kotzke was nifta. He was afraid to do that. He didn't do that. Not only that, throughout his entire life, whenever a Jew told him that he was coming from Kutsk, Reb Leibler would wash his hands, and he would ask the Jew to say over a Torah something that you heard, or a Maisa, something that you saw from the Rebbe from the Kutsker. Was there any personal correspondence between Reb Leibler and the Kutsker? The answer to that is it seems that there was none. That Reb Leibler did not return to Kutsk. After the Izbitzer died, Reb Leibler desperately wanted to go to the Kutsker. He said that there's no long, it's all finished, there's no chassidus anymore. We have to go back to the Kutsker. He said this to his friend, to Reb Tzadik. And Reb Tzadik was the one who talked him out of it, which we'll talk about a little bit more next week. Maybe we'll get to it in a few minutes. But the friendship between Reb Tzadik and Reb Leibler is something which itself deserves a couple of svarim, just on the subject of the friendship between those two great people who they were so different in their personality. And I mentioned to you last week that the last shiur that we had, that when they asked, that they asked Reb Leibler, how is it that both you and the Kohen, you and Reb Tzadik were by the Rebbe, by the Izbitzer, and your Torahs are so different? So Reb Leibler said that one of us heard what the Rebbe said and the other one heard how the Rebbe said it. And the understanding was that the Kohen was the subject matter, and Reb Leibler was the fire and the sweetness and the chizuk. In Reb Tzadik, there is often chizuk, but it's so hidden within the bekiyas and the ideas are so brilliant. Reb Leibler's ideas are brilliant as well, but there one feels, and when we learn this from, one feels tremendous warmth, tremendous ahavas Yisrael. They were very, very dear friends, and we know that the chassidim would tell with great fondness about how Reb Leibler Eger and Reb Tzadik would walk sometimes for 12 hours back and forth in front of the Bis Medrash. Back and forth, they say that the way that they used to do it is that they used to hold each other's gartel, by the gartel. They used to hold each other by the gartel, and they would walk for an entire day talking and learning, and no one was allowed to go near them. People used to just look from the windows and watch that the Kohen and Reb Leibler, those two friends who Trey Ray and Delomis Parish, and they were inseparable, that they would spend entire days talking and learning and so on. They were two malachim Hashem, two malachim of Hashem that the people saw in them the future of that chassidus of Poland. Now, it once happened, I was talking about the seating arrangement before, it once happened that Reb Leibler came late to the Izbitzer, to a tish. He came late. And there were many, many hundreds of people. And Reb Leibler began to climb over everybody. You know, that's also a trademark of Kutsk. And if you've ever had the schus of being by Ger, Shalushu this time, you go in general to Ger. I remember I was warned, you know, not to dress in a nice Shabbos coat. In Ger, they have special bekishes for when you go to Shalashudas, because people start to push and they'll tear off the coat and they'll take the spodik and they'll throw it. Also, they feel that you don't belong in that road. Someone will take your strimal, your spodik, and throw it. They're very, you know, there's a famous thing that they say by the Imre Emes, there was once a Litvisher Rav that was visiting. And they put him, he sat next to the Rebbe. And it was Shalashudas, the Chassidim were going crazy with the pushing and the tearing and throwing. And the Rav, the Litvisher, couldn't take it. So he screamed out, Chayes! And the Gay Rebbe says, Yah, of a Chayes HaKoydish. As he says, Chayes HaKoydish. That's what he said. So Reb Leibler in the tradition of Kutsk, Reb Leibler is just walking on everybody's shoulders, you know, to get to his place. He's like going on top of people and no one's saying a word. It's Reb Leibler, so he's walking. And then, so it was very, very crowded. And the Beis Yankiv, the son of the Izbitzer, looked up. He says, Nu Leibler. So what happens if this time you sit? So what happens if you sit, if you sit after the Kohen from Lublin? You don't have to push in to get next to the Rebbe. So the Izbitzer heard this and he says, and he got very upset. He says, no, move over. He has to sit davka in this place. And it was after the Beis Yaakov, then Reb Leibler, then the Kohen. And that, of course, was Ruach HaKodesh, because that was the order of their lives and when they would die, and the future of Chassidus was exactly in that order. And that's why the Izbitzer was so upset that no one should tamper with the order. And they made room for Reb Leibler to squeeze in into his regular spot. Now, the amount of time, just another minute. The amount of time that Reb Leibler spent actually with the Izbitzer was 7 years. 7 years of complete and total devotion. inseparable from the Izbitzer. The Izbitzer died in 1854. Mamar Chias of Izbitzer died in 1854, and the Kohen from Lublin began to speak to him right away from the beginning to take over. And what's amazing here is that I'm sure you have heard that Rav Tzadok HaKohen is probably in learning was the Gadol Hador at that time. And yet, when the Izbitzer died, Rav Tzadok humbled himself and made himself mamish a chosid of Rav Leibler. They were best friends. I was describing them, they were the closest friends. But that moment that the Izbitzer died, the Kohen from Lublin transformed himself from a friend to a follower. And he begged Rav Leibler to accept the position. And ultimately, Rav Leibler had no choice. And we know that Rav Leibler, however, refused to treat Rav Tzadok as a chosid. When Rav Tzadok would walk in, Rav Leibler would stand up. And Rav Tzadok was very careful with, he was very machmir in many halachas, and Rav Leibler himself would take care of the shechita, so that the Kohen would be able to eat from that shechita. And he used to call it Matnas Kahuna. He used to give the gifts, he used to say to the Kohen, these were the gifts for the Kohen. And that was the only time that the Kohen ate very little. He would only eat by, Rav Tzadok HaKohen only ate by it when he was Mesayim HaMesechta. He finished a Mesechta every day, his entire life. The Kohen finished a Mesechta every day, his entire life, including Tisha B'Av at night. He would make a Siyam on a Mesechta, and he would eat once a day by the Siyam. That's how he went his entire life. He made a Siyam a Mesechta every day. So the meat that he was eating was, when Reb Leibler was alive, was from those matanas, from the gifts that Reb Leibler gave. Reb Leibler had tremendous love for the Kohen, and he said about the Kohen, the greatest compliment, he called him Ish Ruchani Kuloi. Rav Leibler said that the Kohen from Lublin is entirely spiritual. He has no connection to this world. When the Chiddush Arim died in 1864, then Rav Leibler said to Rav Tzadok, he says, now I can no longer call you, I can no longer speak to you in the Yiddish, in the familiar word term, the familiar Yiddish. I have to speak to you already in the third person. Because as long as the Chiddush Arim was alive, we could say that he was the Gaon Hador. He was the genius, the leader of the generation. Now, after that time, Rav Leibler no longer spoke to the Kohen directly. But he spoke to him, from that point on, he spoke to him in the third person. Now, why didn't Reb Leibler go back to Kutsk? So, after the Izbitzer died, they came to Reb Leibler to make him Rebbe, and Reb Leibler wanted to go to Kutsk, he didn't want to be Rebbe. The Kutsk lived another 5 years after the Izbitzer. So, what happened was, is that, the Kohen came, and the Kohen came to Reb Leibler and told him that you have to start a chassidus over here. So Reb Leibler said, I want to go to the Kutsk. Now the Kohen had never been to Kutsk. The Kohen was never by the Kutsk. So the Kohen said, you think that I'm not also interested? You think that I don't want to go? Not only that, the Kohen had heard many rumors that the Kutsk wanted him to come. This was the prize of all of Poland. That the Kohen says, you think I don't want to go? He says, but I'm telling you, if we're going to go to Kutsk, we're going to hear Lashon Hara about our Rebbe, about the Izbitzer. They're still angry in Kutsk about what happened. And I'm not prepared to go where there are going to be negative things said about the Rebbe, about the Izbitzer. That's number one. And then he said, then the Rebbe Leibler still insisted on going. So the Kohen finally said, listen, I'll tell you what. I'll agree to go with you if you will be prepared for the fulfillment of what's written regarding the Nazir, which means that if we go to Kutsk, all that we heard in Izbitz, all that we received in Izbitz, is going to be forgotten. We're going to forget everything. It's all going to be lost. It's all going to be canceled. So at that point, Rav Leibler Eger says, okay, no, then we'll stay here. Then the Rav Leibler said, if I become Rebbe, if I agree to you and I become Rebbe, the Chassidim of Kutsk are going to be roided for me. They're gonna come after me to kill me. How dare I? It's one thing, the Izbitzer, how dare I start a chassidus? So at this point, the Kohen told him, there's nothing to worry about. No one is going to hurt the grandson of Rabbi Kiva Eger. No one's going to start up with the grandson of Rabbi Kiva Eger. And this was something which was actually, it was actually true. That the fact that he was Rabbi Kiva Eger's grandson, despite the fact that he became Rabbi, the Chassidim generally, the Kutsker, they left him alone. And right after Reb Leibler agreed with that reasoning, Reb Tzadok HaKohen gave him a kvittel with some money, and that's when he officially became Rebbe. That period of him as being Rebbe is what we're going to, Mitzvah Shem, discuss after Yom Tov.